Welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast, where we dive deep into universal spiritual principles and ground them in modern science. My name is Chris Carton.
And my name is Kevin Carton. And we are committed to simplifying the spiritual side of success for you with easy-to-understand scientific research so you can walk away with practical tools to create radical transformations in your life. Let's get started.
All right, guys. So this episode, we have another listener question. And just to start out, we love listener questions. So if you're listening and you have a question, you have an inquiry, please DM me or Kevin on Instagram or at the Science and Spirituality Podcast. We read our DMs and we love hearing from you guys. So this question comes from one of our listeners. And the question is, how does one meditate to specifically deal with anxiety and overthinking? And we thought that this was a perfect example to A, answer this question, but then B, talk about the myths of meditation, because like we talked about in our last episode, Kev, the law of attraction, I feel like meditation has also been one of those things that has gained so much traction and popularity over the last like couple decades that there's a lot of people that have misconceptions about it because it's become this like new age thing and people aren't really looking into what does this entail. So we wanted to dive into that on this podcast.
Yep, exactly. And I've actually, it's a really good point. I didn't even think of that, of like how much traction it has gained. And especially in the Western world, you know, because meditation has been a common practice in Eastern philosophies, Eastern religions, Eastern practices for forever. I don't know. So meditation, it's really grown here now in the Western world. But I mean, heck, I bet even these myths are present in the Eastern world as well. So we can dive into it of like some of the main myths. And the first one I want to touch on and dive into is something that I struggled with in the beginning, is that the myth is that you have to clear your mind, that like you shouldn't have any thoughts when you're in meditation, like a deep meditation. Like, and if you're not, like if you're having thoughts, then you're not actually meditating. Like that is completely false, because meditation at the core, like the purpose of it, is to help you in this case of that question, is like reduce anxiety, stop overthinking. But it doesn't mean to not think at all. Like our mind is like the natural state of our mind is thinking, but overthinking is like, it's going such at a rapid clip that like you can't keep up and it feels overwhelming. Whereas through meditation, you learn to, in a way, control your thinking, where you direct it. So it's not that you don't think and clear your mind. It's about what I have found is a one-pointed focus. And that's why, which we're going to touch on later on, is like some tips that really help, is like having a practice that is more mindfulness, as well as maybe even having guided meditations or having a one-pointed focus for meditation. Like it could be even washing dishes, but as long as you're focused and you're having your focused attention on what you're doing, then that is a form of meditation. So it's not about clearing your mind, but it is about focusing your attention and having your thoughts go where you want them to go. And one final thing about that before, because I want to hear your thoughts on that, Chris, and then to just go on with this, is the Buddhists, who I believe are, I mean, one of the most, like just that group of people, are very well versed in meditation. And I learned this from them, that Buddhists call the mind the jumping monkey, because our mind, like the thoughts, just jump everywhere often. And so what they've said is that meditation is about tethering or controlling that jumping monkey. So it's not jumping everywhere, but you're giving it like a job, like focus on the breath. And then when the mind, like the thoughts jump away to something else, is you just bring it back to focus on your breath, if that is the focus of the meditation. So like, it's not about not having thoughts, but it's about bringing it to a one point of focus so that you are mastering your mind, like you're controlling it and you're gaining that freedom from that discipline. If that makes sense.
Yeah. And just to tie in like some neuroscience there too, it's like, because the brain's neuroplastic and our nervous system is neuroplastic, over time, it's going to become easier and easier to tether that monkey mind, like to bring it back. So that's why a meditation practice consistently is really, really good. And okay, that was the perfect myth that you brought up in the very beginning, because I just want to tie back to the question about meditating when you have anxiety. It's like, if you're an anxious person to begin with and you sit down and meditate, you might get more anxiety by how many thoughts that you're having and being like, oh crap, am I doing this right? Like, am I, and then it could cause an even more and more downward spiral when you have anxiety. So understanding what meditation is and what meditation isn't can really help someone when they're first starting out, especially with anxiety. So the monkey mind thing, that's perfect. And for me, the way that I get through this myth is I like to do active meditations. So I noticed like very early on that it was very hard for me to sit down for more than 5 minutes at a time and actually meditate. So I'll go for walks. And when I'm on these walks, like I'll pick something to focus on. Like I'm going to focus on like my breathing today or how I'm walking today, or I'm going to like try to find like a tree that's turning red from the fall, or like I'm going to count how many blue jays I can see. So it's like focusing in on your environment and like plugging into the world around you so that you can step out of your mind for a second. And again, like having that one pointed focus on something. That's really helped me. And then also moving, I don't know if anyone's listening with anxiety, for me, because I have anxiety too, it's like moving actually helps me a lot with reining in my thoughts. Mm. So that's my two cents on that.
Yeah. And that flows beautifully into the second myth that we wrote down here to talk about, is that the myth is that you have, for meditation, you have to sit down and close your eyes and be silent. And like, that's meditation. And if you're not doing that, then it's not meditation. Like that is another huge myth. Because there's different forms of meditation. So obviously sitting down in silence and closing your eyes is a form of meditation, but it's not the only, you know, so to think that you have to do that is limiting the possibilities of using the power of meditation. Because again, going back to the truth coming from the first myth, is that it's all about having a one point of focus. Like Chris, you gave a great example of your form of meditation is a walking meditation, and you bring your mind to focus on something like your breath, you know, you walking or the trees around you or counting blue jays, like certain different things to put your focus on. And that's again, like giving that monkey mind a job and saying, hey, like, all right, we're going to choose to focus on this and then go forward with that. So it's not about sitting down, although again, you can, but that's just another myth that, causes people just to have, again, like you said, more anxiety than actually using meditation to help in reducing that.
Yeah. And another reason why I think meditation, any of the forms that we're talking about, again, not just, doesn't have to be just sitting, but the reason that this helps anxiety so much is that people who suffer from anxiety, they're not in the present moment. Like when you're suffering from anxiety, like you're thinking about the past or you're anticipating something in the future. That's like the definition of anxiety. Like you're afraid of something. It's like being afraid of the dark, but because you don't know what's in the darkness. The darkness isn't exactly what you're afraid of. It's you don't know what's in the darkness. That's kind of how I feel when I am having like anxious episodes. And so even like if I practice presence, like I sit down and I like touch the table and I'm like, I'm touching this table right now, like actually feeling it, or like feeling my butt on the chair, or like if I'm washing the dishes, like really focusing on how the water feels on my hands and like watching the dirt like fall off the dishes. Like it's very therapeutic because you're practicing presence. Like you're in the moment. And when you're in the moment, you're not thinking about the past and you're not thinking about the future. And so there's you can't have anxiety in those moments.
Yeah.
So practicing presence, it's huge. It's really big. And another quick tip that I want to give that I've been using a lot is also, besides the walk meditation, is getting out in nature, like unplugging, like getting out away from the city if you live in a city, and just grounding, like sitting on a rock or like finding a stream so you can listen to the nice like moving water, just something to get yourself out of the pattern that you're currently in and disconnect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It reminds me of when you said that before, and just it popped up again, I want to share it, is a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson, who's a great writer in the late 1800s. He writes that the vibration of nature is perfect. And I love that.
Yeah.
And that's why it's just so nourishing, because as you get out into nature and you get to connect, with that energy and that vibration that is, in that case, perfect, because trees are being trees. Like they're not in anywhere in the future or in the past. Like they are there, like they're present. Yeah. And like, so is everything else in nature. And so it's just supporting that presence that ultimately is what is a good meditation. So, or at least developed meditation, let's say that.
Yeah. And just to piggyback onto that about nature, like next time you go for a walk, just look around at trees and bushes and rocks, and like there's no rock that's exactly like another rock. and there's no tree that's exactly like another tree. But like, you don't look at it and be like, oh, that tree's weird. You look everything in nature is perfect.
Yeah.
And that's like a really good analogy to humans. It's like, you're never going to be exactly like someone else, but that's not the point of being human. The point of being human is to be you and to be unique. Yeah. And so exactly. we can get that lesson from nature and observing nature.
Yeah. And to I add on top of that about like, again, nature.
Piggyback on the piggyback.
Yeah. About like, it's the perfection of nature. It's also like, there's not, because we place meaning on something if it's something is good or bad. But that doesn't mean that it's actually good or bad. It's just the meaning we're placing on it. And so nature is such a beautiful example of that, is that there's no such thing as perfection there. Or, I mean, it is perfect, but like, there's not a good or bad. Like, there's non-duality there of like the actual truth. And that's the final myth about meditation, is that there's a good or bad meditation.
Right.
Like, that there's no such thing. It's that you are where you're at in the day that you're in. And through meditation, you're growing, you're developing. So like, sometimes you may feel like you've done really well in a meditation of being present and focused. But if you're not, that's a good process that you're going through, so that you're developing the skill of bringing your mind to a one point of focus and then having the presence in what we're talking about. So like, the myth is that like, oh, like I'm really good at meditation or I'm bad at meditation. It's like, no, like there's just meditation. And your experience with it. And like, I've been meditating for 8 or 9 years now. I forget exactly like when I first started. And I consider myself an adept meditator, but it's not like I have good or bad meditations. I just have meditations. Like, there are some days that I am super focused, super tuned in to like the present moment of myself. And personally for me, my meditations are more sitting down. Like in the mornings, I have 5 or 10 minutes of sitting down in silence. But there are times like my mind is just jumping around, but I don't beat myself up thinking that's a bad meditation. Is I still gave myself the space and time to work on giving my mind a direction and a focus to then have that one point of focus and presence. And sometimes it's better than other days, but it's not like I label it. It's like, oh, that was a bad meditation or a good one. It just is. That's why I love meditation, just the practice, because it meets you where you're at, as long as you're willing to meet yourself where you're at, so that you're not labeling it and thinking like I'm good or bad at it. It's just a development process and it gets better over time.
Yeah. I was going to say that if meditation was a sport, it would be the perfect sport to give out participation trophies. Cause it's the, like, if you can just tie the act of doing it to the success instead of how you do it, or how you feel doing it, or, you know, whether you feel like you're doing it right or wrong. If you can just say, if I sit down and do it 3 times a week, 5 times a week, whatever, if I just do the act of it, that's a success for me. Like, that can get you on a roll, because you'll notice that, like Kev, like you said, there's times when you feel really awesome after your meditation, and there's times where you're like, I just couldn't get in it today. But it's like, it's that continual process, and you're right. It does meet you where you are. Mm-hmm. It's a practice. It's a process. Exactly.
Yeah. So those are the main myths that we wrote down. I mean, those pretty much cover it all in terms of like what I can think of as myths and what I've seen and not only experienced in my life, but what others have said. But is there any other myths that you can think of?
No, not myths. I just was maybe just to like bring in one more point about meditation in general, just a little bit of science. Meditation's become a lot more popular over the past 2 decades. And because of that, you know, Western medicine is starting to study it. That's usually how Western medicine comes on to like complementary. I'm putting complementary or alternative stuff in quotes, when like, they're like, oh shit, a lot of the population is using this and spending a lot of money on it. So we might as well try to figure out how it works.
Yeah.
And so meditation actually increases the activity in your prefrontal cortex, where you can make decisions, like it's your decision-making faculty. Mm-hmm. So like, over time, meditation can increase the tissue there, so that you can better control your urges, you can better control your emotions, you can better control your anxiety and your depression through that, because the king on top of the helm is stronger. Like, you have the ability to direct your thoughts better. So it actually increases the effectiveness of that tissue in the prefrontal cortex.
It's the gray matter in the brain, right?
I think so.
I know scientifically it's studied that as you meditate more, like the gray matter of your brain increases
yeah, like
which
core
is
connections and yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like the core connections of your brain. So that you actually like just your brain functions better.
Yeah. So it's almost creative, like giving back to the monkey mind. You know in Toy Story, the monkey that just kept hitting the cymbals?
Yeah.
It's like the more you meditate, like you kind of give him like a better instrument and it like sounds
that sounds more peaceful, right?
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Not just clanging. It's like, oh yeah, I'm actually making beautiful music with my thoughts.
Yeah. And then I think the beautiful thing too about meditation, just this will be the last thought, because I just want to tie it into literally every single episode that we've ever had, is like
awareness
and getting to know yourself.
Mm.
Like there'll be random times you'll be sitting in a meditation or like out in nature doing whatever type of meditations for you, and something will just come to you and be like, oh crap, that's what I want to do. Or like, you know what, that thing that person said about me last week, that's not true.
Yeah.
Like I know who I am, but it's like meditation allows you to like cut through that noise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I remember a quote from the Buddha. It says like, someone asked him like, oh, like what have you gained out of meditation? And he's like, nah, nothing, bro. I haven't gained anything, but let me tell you what I've lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I've lost anxiety. I've lost worry. I've lost doubting myself. I've let go of all of that so that I can become who I truly am.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's crazy too. It just like flies in the face of like Western society. It's like,
yeah, right. It's like, I need to gain more. Like,
actually, meditation helps you cut shit away. It's like, what?
Yeah. Like, wait, what? No, I need more. No, it's not about that. I need less, bro.
Yeah, less. More fulfillment, less things.
Exactly. Yeah, which it's, but here's the thing to really like define that.
Yeah.
It's not about more fulfillment. It's about revealing the fulfillment that's already within.
Right.
And actually like experiencing that. That's why I love the word discover. It's one of my favorite words in the human language, because that word, as you break it down, is you it's a discover. In other words, as you discover things, you take the cover off of what is already within you, what's already there. So like in this case, it's not about finding peace or happiness or anything like that. It's discovering that, which means you're taking off the cover from what's covering that. So like the peace, the happiness, the joy, the fulfillment, all of that you want is already within you, but it's just a matter of letting go of the things that are covering it and in the way. Yeah. And then it allows to rise up like that fulfillment. Like it's there. It's a feeling that is generated within. It's nothing about anything outside of you.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's like, yeah, it's beautifully said.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah.
But a couple other things I wanted to mention, because like we mentioned this episode is like myths of meditation, but also tips. Mm-hmm. Like been kind of sharing some tips, but it's a couple other things. Like if you're in the beginning of meditation or like your meditation practice, you're wanting to develop it even more. Some things that have really helped me over the years is when I first started meditating, I started with guided meditations. Because again, going back to the first truth, which is the opposite of the myth, that you need to clear your mind. It's actually, again, about the one point of focus, is with guided meditations, they help you focus in on like someone's voice or a mantra or something that is giving your mind a focus and attention. So personally for me, when I first started meditating, I did it maybe like once or twice a week and just found a 10-minute guided meditation on YouTube that was like aligning my chakras. And it sounded awesome. So I did that. And I probably listened to that guided meditation like 100 times before I actually moved on to other types of meditation. I'm talking about like kind of like sitting meditations. So that has really helped me, just finding a good guided meditation. And I'm going to also link in the description here. I got a couple of guided meditations that are completely free. You can download that I've created, because guided meditations have helped me so much that I created some of my own. So I'll link that in the description, a couple of different ones. You could check them out and test them out and see if they work for you. Then another thing that helps me, and sometimes I even do this now in meditation, is like, because I don't use guided meditations much anymore, but I do use music sometimes. Like certain high frequency music is really powerful to help you get into a more meditative state. And sometimes I even use the music on a walking meditation. Like I do walking meditation, so I'll literally pop in my headphones and then put on like 15 minutes of 432 hertz frequency music, or 963 hertz music. Like they're different intentions.
That hurts
is
fire.
Huh?
Like that hurts is fire.
Yeah, basically. Like each of the different frequencies, like their main strong like vibrations, strong frequencies, like 432, 528 is for the heart center. I know another one is, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on it. Well, actually, no. The main ones that I use are 432, 528, and then 963. The 963 one is my favorite because it opens the crown chakra and resonates with that part of our body, or especially our ethereal body. But yeah, it's really powerful. So music for me is just really powerful. And that those are the tips I got. I just wanted to add that, that are really supportive. So
I'll just share one tip just to close out the podcast. For me is just, sure. Just stay consistent with it. Like, don't be like, I got to sit and do an hour of meditation in the morning and an hour of meditation at night. You're setting yourself up to fail. Like, you like 2 minutes in the morning, just sit in silence. Like right when you wake up, before you check your phone, just sit and like enjoy.
Exactly.
And start small. And then like, you'll notice, like you'll do 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes at night, and then you'll want to increase it over time.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll feel so good. So don't set yourself up to fail, set yourself up to succeed and start small and do, and be consistent.
Yeah. 100%. That reminds me of our episode on the compound effect.
Yeah. 100%. Like so a lot of things go back to that too. Yeah,
exactly. Go listen to that. That'll help you in gaining a powerful meditation practice. So yeah. Awesome. All right, y'all. Well, if you have any questions about anything we talked about, or you want us to dive deeper on any of this stuff, just let us know. Like we said in the beginning, it's like, feel free to ask questions and we'll talk with you on another episode. And that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. And we really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, just connect with us on Instagram. You could always DM us at Kevin Francis Carton
and at Chris J. Carton. And also, if you feel guided to, the one thing we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and leave us a review. This way we can reach more people and impact more lives with this amazing information. With that, we'll see you on the next episode.